Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
The New Hampshire presidential primary is tentatively scheduled for just under a year from now. And if history holds, and that's an if, the evening before, the world's attention will turn to the tiny New Hampshire North Country community of Dixville Notch.
Le petit hameau montagnard de Dixville Notch.
Voters in the New Hampshire hamlet of Dixville Notch receive ballot papers, ready to cast the first election day votes in the presidential race.
Since 1960, voters in the small town of Dixville Notch have cast their votes just after the stroke of midnight to mark the official start of the presidential primary vote in New Hampshire. But a recent investigation into the elections there threatens the future of its midnight voting tradition. Reporter Casey McDermott has this story.
As long as you're not camera shy, voting in Dixville Notch comes with plenty of perks. Take Peter Johnson. He cast his ballot there for more than three decades. Whenever he walked out of the voting booth, he walked into a row of reporters, eager to hear his take on the race.
Republican Peter Johnson said he's looking for someone who can break the gridlock in Washington. And for him, that's Newt Gingrich.
Because of his experience, knows how to run the show down there.
Dixville Notch isn't the only town that votes at midnight, but they've been doing it the longest, so they get most of the press coverage. Reporters rush to interview Dixville voters like Johnson because they're some of the first people in the whole country to vote for president. So through the years, Johnson's political commentary has appeared everywhere from CNN to the Sydney Morning Herald. But all of those news stories left out one crucial detail. Peter Johnson doesn't actually live in Dixville Notch. That detail recently came to the attention of state election investigators. Here's Peter again.
Last year, I get this letter, and we're going to fine you X amount of dollars because you're not a resident.
Peter Johnson's story is complicated. He used to live in Dixville, but that was back in the 1990s. He moved away when his property got tied up in a messy divorce case, but he always intended to go back. He even lined up claim on another property in town. So Dixville is where he kept voting. As long as he only voted once, he didn't think it made any difference where.
As far as I know, it doesn't make one damn bit of difference at all.
Peter Johnson isn't the only Dixville voter who's gotten a call from state election investigators. The state started digging into his case only after it got several other complaints about Dixville's elections. One of those complaints came from a tipster who was watching a news story about Dixville's midnight results. She recognized one of the voters because he lived in her hometown. So the AG's office launched a full investigation into Dixville months after the 2016 general election. Associate Attorney General Ann Edwards says they determined that most of the people who voted in Dixville in 2016 probably should have voted somewhere else.
We don't think any of these individuals had any intent to commit voter fraud, but we don't believe these individuals should continue to claim Dixville Notch as their domicile.
Some of the voters singled out by the state were people who used to live and work at the Balsams Resort, the main business in Dixville, which closed down in 2011. But the AG's office also raised questions about people who moved to Dixville more recently to work on a project to reopen the old hotel. People like Nancy DePalma, who says she was living part-time in Dixville during the 2016 general election.
I was told the day of the election that I could register for Dixville, and I was very excited to do so because of, first of all, my right to do so, and the historical value of being first in the nation.
The state hasn't charged anyone in Dixville Notch with voter fraud, but election investigators were still pretty alarmed by what they discovered. And this all came as a shock to the guy in charge of Dixville's elections, Tom Tillotson.
Dixville's elections have always been absolutely trustworthy.
Tillotson's dad helped to launch Dixville's midnight vote. And in that spirit, Tom's goal has always been to encourage people to participate. He didn't see any issue with the people singled out by the AG's office, and he has no regrets about letting them vote in Dixville.
There's a level of trust here just because we're so small, everybody knows each other.
But Dixville's only getting smaller, and the AG's crackdown isn't helping. In the 2016 election, Dixville had just 8 voters. By last fall, the only people left were Tillotson, his wife, his son, and 2 people working on the project to reopen the Balsams Hotel. That leaves 5 voters. Well, Almost.
Actually, Clay just notified me that he is leaving the project. I got a message from him this morning, so we will be down to four by the next election unless somebody comes and replaces him.
And that's presented a new and perhaps more existential problem for Dixville Notch. Dixville is running out of people to run its elections. State law requires a certain number of people to check in voters, inspect the ballot box, and more. And Dixville might not make that cutoff. Tillotson says he's hopeful they can make it work for 2020, but he knows time is running out.
It's getting to be a ghost town here.
Whether Dixville has the number of voters it needs to hold an election, that's one thing. Whether the satellite trucks keep showing up to cover an election that's basically just Tillotson and his family, that might be another. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Casey McDermott.